This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel. At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
9 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning, first of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. December wheat now trading at 853, now 852 and 3/4, up 4. March wheat now trading at 860 and a half, up 4 and a half. December corn trading at 726 and a half, up 3/4. March corn trading at 730 and a half, that's up 1 and a quarter. January soybeans trading at 1412, that's down 7. March beans trading at 1391 and 3/4, down 7. The overnight crude oil market was 18 cents lower at 86.14. The Brent crude, 29 cents higher at 109.90. The December gold contract, $7 lower at $1,723.10. The dollar index, 0.064 higher at 81.12. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 848 and 3/4, that's down 2 and a quarter. March wheat ended at 864, down 1 and 3/4. May wheat ended at 870 and 3/4, down 1 and 3/4. December corn yesterday ended at 725 and 3/4, that was up 2 and a quarter. March corn ended at 729 and a quarter, up 3. May corn ended at 725, up 2 and a half. November soybeans yesterday, 1432 and 3/4, up 5 and 3/4. January beans ended at 1419, up 11. March beans ended at 1398 and 3/4, up 13. December soybean meal yesterday ended at $436, up 29. January meal, 431.30, up 28. March meal ended at 420.50, and that was up 1/4. December soybean oil yesterday, 47.67, up 65. January oil, 48.01, up 64. March oil ended at 48.48, up 65. December oats yesterday, 367 and a half, up 3 and 3/4. March oats ended at 376 and a half. That was up 4. The cash grain report is not available to us this morning, so we'll move on with quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December hogs yesterday ended at 80.10, down 40. February hogs ended at 86.05, down 80. April hogs ended at $91, down 30. December cattle yesterday, 125.42, down 37. February cattle, 129.12, down 67. April cattle ended at 133.10, down 57. November feeder cattle yesterday, 143.20, down 32. January feeders, 144.87, down 127. March feeders, 147.35, down 97. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield. We do have the cash livestock market report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report has barrels of gilt on a carcass basis ending $1.04 lower, a base price range of $73.82 to $76.50, and a weighted average of $74.41. The Illinois Direct Barrel and Gilt traded steady with a weaker undertone today. That range was at $52 to $55. Receipts in Illinois, $12,163. The Illinois Direct Star Sows traded mostly steady. Sows under 400 pounds, $53 to $55. 400 to 500 pounds, $53 to $58. Over 500 pounds, $57 to $65. Estimated receipts in Illinois date, 900 head. The USDA National Car Lot Pork Report had trading moderate with light to moderate demand and offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was down $1.61 at $84.12. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday was 434,000. That's down 1,000 from a week ago, but up 8,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 1,267,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday was 21,000. That's up 7,000 from a week ago, but down 5,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 363,000. The USDA estimated box beef cutout values were steady to week on moderate to fairly good demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Choice carcasses were down 17 at 193.22, while select was off 29 at 174.20. We had 196 fab loads and 44 trim loads. The opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction has estimated receipts of 496 head. Steers and heifers were traded $1 to $1.50 higher. Holstein steers untested early. Choice slaughter steers 121 to 125 with select and choice at 114.50 to 120. Choice slaughter heifers 120 to 123.50. Select and choice at 114.50 to 120. On Tuesday at the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville, receipts totaled 443 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents lower. Holstein steers $2 lower than a light test. Slaughter cows $1 lower. Slaughter bulls $2 lower. Slaughter steers choice at 120.25 to 126. Select and choice 115 to 121. Choice Holstein slaughter steers at 112.75 to 115. Choice slaughter heifers 121 to 125.75. Breaker slaughter cows 87.50. Boners at 76 to 82.50. Lean slaughter cows, $66.50 to $72. Yield grade 1 slaughter bulls, $82.50 to $87. In the feeder cattle run, feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 3 to 400 pounds, 150 to 160. 500 to 600 pounds at 130 to 140. At the Fairview sale barn yesterday, receipts totaled 372 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter cows and bulls traded steady. Choice slaughter steers 121 to 128. Choice slaughter heifers 121.50 to 128.50. Breaker slaughter cows at 75 to 79.75. Boners 65 to 70. Leans at 53 to 60. Yield grade 1 slaughter bulls 81 to 83.50. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter 189 unchanged. For block cheese, 191 up 5 1/4. For barrel cheese, 183.5 up 3/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 2090. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, 716. For January, 720. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, 716. For January, 720. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, 1422, for January, 1424, and wheat delivered to Scottville for November, 808. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, 716, corn at Scottville, 716, Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, 1422, and wheat at Scottville, 808. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Get more from every acre by using MicroEssentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only MicroEssentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of MicroEssentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the low 50s with light and variable winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the low 30s. For tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-50s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 40s, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady, and our temperature, 23 degrees under mostly clear skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America. First of all, in our farm news today, the Illinois Pork Producers Association will hold a series of meetings around the state to provide pork producers with an update on activities on the state and national level. The meetings will also give producers a chance to share their ideas of pork production and promotion. One meeting will be held at the Magnuson Grand Hotel north of Litchfield tonight. It starts with a dinner at 6. It's sponsored by Jersey County Grain. Producers wishing to attend should call Derek Dunkirk before noon today. His phone number, 820-0117. The first hay auction of the year will be held Saturday, December 1st at the Madison County Ag Auction near Fosterburg. That will start at 11. Earlier this week, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. He explained the difference between index funds and hedge funds. He said that hedge funds are in and out of the market quickly compared to the index funds in order to obtain a quick profit. But as he explained, it can be hair-raising.
Hedge fund managers do live on the edge. It's not the way I'd want to make my living, but they do. And a lot of that money they're managing is 401k investment money or retirement money for younger people who want to be more aggressive in their retirement investments and take more risks. And so it's a lot of people's retirement money being invested in that way.
Those hedge funds, they're also pretty heavily regulated, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. And those regulations are simply increasing with Dodd-Frank. And that's making life a little bit more difficult for them, and particularly with Dodd-Frank, 9,000 pages of regulations to be implemented over the next 1 to 2 years. Another reason why they're reducing their positions right now as we head into the end of 2012.
There's also been talk of, reducing or perhaps eliminating Dodd-Frank, hasn't there?
There is, but with the results of the election going the way they are, that is not likely to happen. We're probably going full steam ahead with Dodd-Frank. There is some support on both sides of the aisle for making adjustments in Dodd-Frank, but you have to, where are those adjustments? And while Democrats may agree on one adjustment, the Republicans may want another, and will they be in position to make any type of compromise on that when they're having enough trouble battling over some of the fiscal cliff issues?
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Last week's USDA reports tweaked the corn supply and demand figures and increased supply of soybeans. This morning, Todd Gleason will explore how University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good thinks that should influence a row crop farmer's marketing plan.
When taken in context with the global supply and demand figures, University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says the November USDA reports will have some influence on commodity prices, but not a lot.
For corn, really not. We've been in a very solid sideways pattern for the past 5 weeks on corn, maybe 6 weeks now. And we've kind of got this ongoing trade-off between, okay, we're a little bit worried about the Argentine crop. On the other hand, we're a little bit worried about the slow pace of consumption. We know we've got tight stocks. So the market's just been treading water, and it looks to me like we're going to kind of continue that pattern, maybe even through the end of the year, until we get a better handle on the Argentine crop. So I don't look for big price moves in the corn market either way near term.
That's for corn. Soybean is a bit of a different story.
Soybeans, it does add some negative momentum to what we've been seeing in that market over the past couple of months. I do think that perhaps we may be buying into this huge South American crop a little bit too early. It's still very early in the planting and growing season there. We know Argentina had an extremely wet October. Central western part of Brazil was extremely dry in October. We're kind of in a neutral ENSO weather scenario there, and some people have pointed out that historically in neutral ENSO weather events that South American soybean yields have been slightly below average. So there is still some production risk there that perhaps we're buying into the big crop just a little too early there. But in the meantime, we do have to fight this negative momentum that we're seeing.
A large part of that price battle will be fought in the southern hemisphere as weather conditions change, along with crop prospects in Argentina and Brazil. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Livestock producers and organizations filed for a waiver of the renewable fuel standard, the federal requirement for the production of corn ethanol, with the Environmental Protection Agency after this year's drought reduced yields and increased feed grains prices. National Pork Producers Council President-elect Randy Spronk says EPA has taken comments from various organizations about the request.
We're just hoping that they take that information and take it to heart. It's the question that we've been asking all along is, what are you going to do when you have to ration the crop? And is it fair among all end users as to how that crop would be rationed? And so we're hopeful that the decision could be sometime within the next several weeks here. And so we're anticipating and looking forward to that announcement.
If the waiver is granted, Mr. Spronk says that means the legislation works. He says the more detrimental situation is if the waiver is denied.
As we've looked at it, I think a lot of the livestock industry have been supportive of the renewable fuels industry and been a part of it and think it's good for our country. The issue becomes then, well, when it comes to an unlevel playing field and that it's penalizing, you know, one end user more substantially than another, and I think you'll need to revisit, well, does the legislation work?
The biggest issue with the renewable fuel standard, according to Spronk, is if the legislation improperly favors one end user over another, sending false markets. If the waiver is not granted, Mr. Spronk says the legislation will need to be reassessed. In other farm news, the Army Corps of Engineers will proceed with plans to reduce flow from an upper Missouri River reservoir, despite concerns that it will worsen low water problems on the Mississippi River. The Corps expects to cut the flow from a South Dakota dam by about 40%, starting about November 23rd. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon and a barge industry trade group implored the Corps to rethink the plan. Less water from the Missouri would lower the pool of the Middle Mississippi, potentially halting barge traffic. The Farm Progress Show on Tuesday became part of the largest and most diversified agriculture information business in North America. A New York-based firm, Penton Media Incorporated, acquired Farm Progress companies from Fairfax Media Limited of Sydney, Australia, for $79.9 million. In addition to the nation's largest outdoor farm show, Farm Progress Companies operates a broadcast division and such publications as the Prairie Farmer and Farm Futures magazines. More than 30 groups representing the agriculture industry have sent letters to the House of Representatives and the Senate to urge them to provide farmers and ranchers with permanent and meaningful relief from the estate tax. At the end of the year, current estate tax relief is set to expire, Exemption levels will drop to $1 million per individual, and the tax rate will increase to 55%. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President J.D. Alexander says that would have a devastating impact on the cattle industry. He says America's farmers and ranchers are small business owners who cannot afford to foot the bill for government inaction. According to Alexander, the fate of American agriculture and our economic recovery rests on there being certainty in the tax code and continued relief from the burdensome death tax. The National Soy Checkoff is making it easier for farmers to determine if it's worth it to apply a fungicide and to find the most cost-effective seeding rate. The United Soybean Board has developed a new app that includes two calculators to help farmers plan for their next crop. One helps users determine whether the yield benefits of various input combinations justify the cost. The other uses the main maturity rates for a farmer's region, the cost of soybean seed, and an estimated price of the beans at the time of sale to determine an optimal seeding rate based on percentage of return. Seth Neve, lead investigator and associate professor of agronomy and plant genetics at the University of Minnesota, says this is a really easy way for farmers to get an idea about seeding rates for soybeans based on the cost of the seed and the price of the harvested grain. The House is scheduled to vote on legislation to grant permanent normal trade relations with Russia this week. While Russia formally joined the World Trade Organization in August, but Congress must enact PNTR for the country in order to guarantee U.S. access to the market opening and legal aspects that are part of the Russian WTO agreement. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman calls Russia PNTR a critical step toward ensuring the U.S. benefits from Russia's access to the World Trade Organization and remains competitive in the market. He says United States farmers will have more certain and predictable market access as a result of Russia's commitment not to raise tariffs on any products above the negotiated rates and to apply international food safety standards in a uniform and transparent manner. The United States Department of Agriculture has awarded the first-ever USDA farm-to-school grants. Agriculture Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan announced that more than $4.5 million in grants for 68 projects will help connect school cafeterias with local agricultural producers. The project spans 37 states and the District of Columbia. Ms. Merrigan says when schools buy food from nearby producers, their purchasing power helps create local jobs and economic benefits, particularly in rural agricultural communities. She says there's also evidence that kids are more likely to make healthy eating choices when they understand more about where their food comes from and how it is produced. Our guest on the Saturday Farm Show is Roger DeWitt of Gillespie. He will talk about his work with paint horses over the years, and we'll talk about his paintings of rural scenes. The Saturday Farm Show will be heard Saturday morning at 6:15 on WSMI FM 106 and 12:45 Saturday afternoon on WSMI AM and FM. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 8:54, that's up 5 1/4. March wheat trading at 8:68 3/4, up 4 3/4. December corn now trading at 7:27, up 1 1/4. March corn trading at 7:31, up 1 3/4. January beans trading at 14:12 1/2, down 6 1/2. March beans trading at 13:91 3/4, down 7. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.